God's hand that leadeth me.
He leadeth me.
That night for me,
he prayed for me.
Amen. We're going to be getting started in just a couple of minutes this morning. Glad you are here for this very special Sunday service, Camp Meeting Weekend 2022. Thank you, everybody, for praying for this weekend that we've been having. The Lord has been blessing it in unbelievable ways, and I'm going to be talking about that. Man, we got some stuff to talk about today. It's great seeing all what are now familiar faces, the NTEB family. We have people here this weekend who have been here 2, 3, and 4 times before, and that is just such a blessing. So we're going to be getting started in just about 6 minutes, but this is Camp Meeting Weekend Sunday service. So if you weren't able to attend the Camp Meeting Weekend, you are part of it right now, and we are so glad that you're here. I always say that we are not a church, we are the church, and that last part is true, but the first part might be changing. Happy Resurrection Sunday, everybody. Amen.
This is the church. I am a part.
It certainly is.
Its doors are open. Come as you are. We know no boundaries. There are no stars.
Straight, it's time for us to face the fact that for decades we've ruined our name. Just look around us, it's easy to see that we share the blame. It's on you and me.
Each of us are hurting, but we have all been called to carry the message to this human race. Our message is love, our anthem is grace. It's time we remembered who we are.
This is the church.
This is the church. If you're part of the body of Christ, you are the church. Church is not some place that you go to. If you're born again by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you are the church. And never forget that.
Stars. If
not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best love, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good morning, everybody, and welcome to this very special edition of the NTEB House Church Sunday Service. It's part of Camp Meeting Weekend 2022, so if you weren't able to physically attend, you are part of Camp Meeting Weekend right here and right now. Today, it is later than you think, and high time to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and get something done for him that will last through the judgment seat of Christ. In Romans 13, the authority chapter, there is a passage near the bottom that many people tend to overlook, and it's an urgent call from our Apostle Paul to get in the game while there's still time to do it. True, here we are 2,000 years later, and the Lord has not yet returned to come get us, but how many members of the church have gone home to glory to see him who thought they had just a little bit more time? C.T. Studd said it the best, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Time is a very precious thing to possess, and something that begins to slip through our fingers from the moment we're born. You can always work, you can always make more money. If you had to, you could steal money. But you can't make more time, you can't steal time. It is a very, very precious commodity. How much time has the Lord given you? Well, you can't know that until it's up, but at that moment, it's too late. In C.T. Studd's famous poem that we're always quoting from, Only One Life 'Twill Soon Be Passed, what is the main element that he talks about? Well, it's time. On this morning's Sunday service, I'd like to bring you a message about time, how it's the most precious resource we have after salvation, and if we will set about redeeming the time, we can finish well before the Lord, and we can have something that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ. Remember that old soap opera? I think it was called The Days of Our Lives, and it used to start with that really cheesy image of the hourglass, and you would hear that announcer saying, like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. Well, that's a soap opera. But you know what? Your King James Bible tells you the same thing. That like grains of sand through the hourglass, the time that we have been given is slipping away at a very, very, very rapid rate. C.T. Studd said this, two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart, only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one, soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow thy word to keep, faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. It's only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one, now let me say thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. And here is the extra bonus stanza. Only one life 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered online across America and around the world. We thank you, Lord, for the congregation that is sitting here in the studio right now. Man, you're doing something, Lord, and as usual, I'm just sitting back and letting you drive and letting you navigate, just in awe of what you do and how you do it and the way you work it out. And you snuck this one up on me today, Lord. And amen, 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 and amen. And so, Lord, we commit this time to you. We ask you to lead and guide and to protect and provide. Lord, if you don't do it, it will not get done, because the best of our earthly efforts and labors don't amount to a hill of beans. We can't do it, Lord. We are a needy people, and we are not called to be independent. We are called to be dependent on you. And the Apostle Paul said that we are to pray without ceasing. And big prayers, little prayers, just to stay in constant contact with you all day, every day. And Father God, we just pray for the messages that were preached yesterday, and that it would bear much fruit for you. There were a couple of lost people there, and we pray that something was said and done that would put those people under conviction. Lord, we don't want to try to use intelligence or argument. We are not Christian apologists. We're street preachers, and we're here to get something done for you, and we're here to preach the glorious gospel of the grace of God and let people get under conviction. That's how they get into the kingdom of God, under conviction. They can't be talked in. They can't be reasoned in. They have to be convicted in. And so, Lord, I thank you, God, for everything that you've been doing so far this weekend. And as we are here on day three of our 2022 camp meeting, and Lord, you continue to work miracles. And we thank you, we praise you, and we commit this time to you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad that you're here today. Chat room is filling up very, very nicely. Angel is asking about pictures. And it just so happens that I have a picture or two to post into the chat room and let you guys see what's going on. But make no mistake about it. If you're listening to this Sunday service, you are part of Camp Meeting 2022. And we're so glad that you're here. We had a nice full house yesterday, and it was supposed to rain. And somebody said to me, well, what are you going to do if it rains? I said, it's not going to rain. I just pulled a Kenneth Copeland and I rebuke the weather. No, not really. I didn't rebuke the weather. I just trusted the Lord. And guess what? If he would have brought us rain, then I guess that we were supposed to have rain. But he kept the rain off of us, and there's a bunch of NTEBers here in the studio, and there's a bunch of NTEBers down on getting ready to hit the streets at noon. Kentucky Jeffrey is going to be leading the street preaching contingent down there, and we're going to catch up with them around 1:15. We're going to have a nice little fellowship lunch. And that's going to be good, and that's going to be exciting. So please continue to keep us in your prayers today. And as always, I'm very, very glad that you're here.
Do their part. Can you imagine up in heaven past the value of one.
Someday you'll read in the newspapers that Moody is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was born of the spirit in 1855. That which is born of the flesh may die. That which is born of the spirit shall live forever.
Amen, amen. That's what D.L. Moody said. He said he was born one time of the flesh and he was born one time of the spirit. And because of that, he's only going to die one time, but he's going to live twice. If you have not been born of the spirit, you're only going to live one time, but you're going to die twice. You don't want to be part of that second resurrection. You want to be part of that first resurrection. The first phase of that resurrection, the first fruits, that took place when Jesus went to the cross and the graves of the Old Testament saints were opened, and they arose from those graves and they walked around the streets. And we're waiting for the main part of the first resurrection, which is going to be the harvest. And that's going to take place at the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And then, of course, the third part. God likes to do things in threes and sevens. The third part of the harvest is going to be the gleanings of the tribulation saints. But whatever you do, don't miss that first resurrection. Because if you're part of the second resurrection, you are in big fat trouble. Glad you're here this morning. Camp Meeting Weekend 2022, Sunday service. Let's talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. That's your ticket to heaven. Or you can pay your own way, but you're not going to like that.
When man sinned in the garden, that sin Jehovah could not condone. The blood shed of animals could not forever
comes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
And there he is. And he's got the blood
with your payment
that he shed
for your debt.
On Calvary.
Thank you, Lord, for your unspeakable
and the
gift. Amen, amen. If you're just tuning in to this very special Camp Meeting Weekend Sunday service, today we're going to be talking about redeeming the time. The Bible says redeeming the time, for the days are evil. What does that mean? It means they're against you. It means time is ticking. Time is the most precious resource after salvation that we have. You can earn more money. You can make more money. You can borrow more money. And if you're so disposed, we don't recommend it, you could steal more money. But you can't get more time. You can't beg, borrow, or steal more time. You only have the exact numbers of years and months and weeks and days and hours and seconds and minutes that the Lord has predetermined for you to have. The Bible says that the hairs of your head have all been accounted for. And you may say, well, I'm bald. I guess no. The Lord knows where your hairs are, and the Lord knows everything about you. You know, the Bible says in Revelation that at the end of everything, even the sea is going to give up the dead that is in the sea. Now, you think about that. You think about just the people who died on the Titanic, April something, 1912. You think about the people who died on the Titanic, and 1,600 and plus souls were lost, and their bodies have long since been dissolved by the salt water, eaten by the fish. The bones, there's almost no bones down there, and it's only been 100 years. So am I telling you that it's possible that God is going to raise up those dead bodies from the Titanic? Absolutely he is. And that's the world that we live in. And so you better get on the right side, because when you see how this whole thing works, you know, Chuck Missler, he was a great brother in Christ, and he was a rocket scientist before he got saved, and he brought all that intelligence and he just turned it over to God. And Chuck Missler, fascinating man. He created Blue Letter Bible, which is that's the Bible that I use every time we have a broadcast. And he was just a really, really good soldier for the Lord. Chuck Missler believed, and he was a rocket scientist. Chuck Missler believed that we are living quite possibly in a digital simulation. And if you were listening to our podcast on Friday with Pastor Joel Tillis from The Soul Trap, we were talking about the flat earth and having a lot of fun with that. And Gia Camino sent me a message and said, well, it looks like we're going to have a podcast on the flat earth. And I said, that's right, we will. And we're going to talk about all these things. We're going to talk about the flat earth, and we're going to talk about, and it may surprise you, you know, the position that I actually do take about the flat earth. I can make a case against it, but I can make a case for it. And, you know, one of the great things that Pastor Tillis said on Friday, and he repeated it during his message yesterday, is that we cannot be so King James only, dispensationally correct, that we can't have a conversation with somebody who doesn't believe as we believe. And there is so much truth to that. And I've always thought that. And, you know, when it comes to, I said yesterday when I was preaching that there's a lot of parts about me where I'm more charismatic than I am Baptist. You take one look at me and you see that right off. But I've always been that way. And I don't have a problem. I can talk with somebody who's not King James only. All of my children are not King James only. Does that mean I can't have a fellowship with my own kids? That's ridiculous. Well, do you have fellowship with people who are not King James? I'm not talking about compromising. We would never, ever, ever, never, ever, thank you, Lord, for keeping us on the straight path. We would never compromise. But can I have fellowship with somebody who's not King James only? I absolutely can. And, you know, the way my mind works, if you were to come up to me and say that you had proof that Jesus did not rise from the dead, I would buy you a cup of coffee, sit you down, and I would be excited to hear what you have to say. Why would I be excited to hear that? because I believe what I believe. I believe every single word in my King James Bible is God's preserved word. I believe every bit of the punctuation. But if you have an opposing view, I'm not afraid. Bring it. I want to hear it. Take your best shot. No problem at all. Paul says, I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded. Remember what King Agrippa said to Paul? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, Paul. Almost. It's not quite far enough. So don't be afraid to have fellowship with people who don't think exactly as you think. Because to be perfectly honest, the people who think exactly as we think, we're a relatively small group of people. And we need some influx of fresh faces from time to time. If you're just tuning in, we are talking about time, and we are talking about how time fades away so very, very quickly. Glad you're here today.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners round you, slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving, can we bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around.
Amen, amen. We had this song from Brother J.C. from Suncoast Baptist Church. He was our worship leader, and he sang this song yesterday.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call, and at the midnight Jesus comes again. When Jesus steps out on the cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air.
Those that remain night cry. When Jesus comes again, as I look around me, I see prophecies fulfilling. The signs of the time, you know they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he says, son, go get your children. And at the midnight cry,
such a blessing yesterday having Suncoast Baptist there ministering with us. It's kind of like become our camp meeting. We met them the first time last year, Brother Bill Grady. I was on the phone with him, and I had asked him to come preach. He said he was booked for like 2.5 years and he couldn't make it, but he says, you're kind of crazy. And I know this pastor over by Tampa, and he's kind of crazy. And he said, I'm a little bit afraid to put the two of you together, but why don't you give him a call? And I did. And truth be told, I wanted to see if this was really from the Lord. So I did something which may or may not have been like a really smart thing. I didn't listen to his preaching before he came to our camp meeting last year. I was just trusting the Lord that he was sending the right person. And when he showed up, I mean, they looked like great people. And I thought to myself, what have I done? I haven't listened to his preaching. What's going to come out of his mouth? But you know what? He's a great preacher, and he loves the book, and he loves the Lord. And he's been the pastor of Suncoast Baptist Church for the last 20 years. And I'm very happy to call him my friend and my brother in Christ. And we're co-laborers. And they were just such a blessing for us yesterday at the camp meeting and for the podcast. And they showed up with their team and their crew. And it's just such a pleasure to minister with them. And Pastor Joel closed out our camp meeting portion yesterday, and just a really, really, really good sermon. And yes, this year, believe it or not, we were able, thanks to Suncoast Baptist, we were able to record the entire thing. And we are going to be posting that online. So you'll get to hear my sermon. You'll get to hear his sermon. You'll get to see the congregational singing. You'll get to see the great presentation from Paul Woody from Bible Literature and Missionary Foundation. So that is all coming soon. And I will post that as soon as I have that. It was just it was great having Brother Joel Tillis and his crew there yesterday. All right, let's pray. Let's start our prayer time. So important. I was bragging on you guys yesterday that we are a praying people. And when you think about it, we do a audio-only podcast. We're getting ready to start doing video podcasting, yes. But for the last 11 years, it's been radio-only. And the thought hit me, a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, I can't remember. I have no sense of time anymore. We're preaching about time today, but all the days kind of just run together for me now. Time is passing very, very quickly. And the thought occurred to me, probably just from the Lord, that how unique it is that right in the middle of a audio-only service, we can pray for other people for 35, 40 minutes, and nobody drops out of the chat room. The amount of listeners increases. It doesn't get lower. And that, to me, I'm telling you, the fact that God has raised us up, the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers, that he has raised us up to be a praying people, man, that's biblical. That's what you want. Forget the marketing programs and, you know, pizza parties for the teenagers and pony rides for the kids to get them in. If gospel and prayer doesn't get them in, keep them out. And, that's not much of a marketing plan, but that's God's marketing plan. That's God's marketing plan, and that's good enough for me. And we will always be a praying people as long as I have anything to say about it, because that's what the Lord tells me to do. But I was bragging on all you guys yesterday that we are a praying people, and that means so much to me, and that encourages me. It really, really, really does, because we are not trying. Look, I spent 6 years in Hollywood. My coworkers were the people that other people buy a ticket to go watch, okay? I've been through, I don't care one lick about fame or any of that junk, or I walked away from a Hollywood career. I don't care about fame. I don't want any of that stuff. I just want to get something done for the Lord. I want what I want. I want something good at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what I want. I don't care that, you know, I just live in an apartment now, and that's fine. I don't need to own anything. I mean, maybe one day I will, but it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. But I do care about my John 14 heavenly mansion in New Jerusalem. I care about that a lot. And I do care about gold, silver, and precious stones, if you want to talk about money. But I'm talking about the gold, silver, and precious stones in the heavenly economy. I don't care for it. Don't give me gold, silver, and precious stones down here. No, I don't want it now. I want it later. Remember when, and we'll get to the prayer in just a minute. But do you remember when Jesus is being tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple, and he says, all the kingdoms of the world have been delivered into my hand, and I can give them to whomsoever I will. And if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give them to you. Well, you know what? Satan was kind of telling the truth a little bit. He was telling the truth from the perspective is that Jesus is going to get all the kingdoms of the world. But he's not getting it now. He gets a cross now. He gets the crown later. He gets the cross in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but he gets the crown in Revelation 19 and 20. So I'm very, very, very happy to wait for my heavenly mansion from New Jerusalem. And I'm very, very happy to be working not for earthly wages, but for heavenly wages. And we will just trust that the Lord will make up any lack and supply all need. And Paul says that we have riches in Christ Jesus. And you get that by being a praying people. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered online. We thank you, Lord, for the for the congregation here in the studio. And we thank you for everybody listening across America and around the world. And Father God, we pray today, Bonnie was led to the Lord by my friend Dave up in New Jersey. And she's in a nursing home. And Brother Dave said to me, would you please put her on your prayer list for comfort and protection? Bonnie is 80 years old. And my good buddy Dave, I led him to the Lord back in 95, 96. I can't remember exactly. But now he's led her to the Lord, and Dave has much fruit. He's led half of his family to the Lord, and he's a hardcore Bible believer, and he's thinking about coming down to St. Augustine to spend some time. But pray for Bonnie, please. We pray for lost souls this morning. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs. We pray for Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, Jeanette's family, Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Dion, Matthew, and Samuel. We pray for Trevor. We pray for Lori's family, Derek, Adam, and Roland Carrier, and their significant others and children. We pray for my three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David. I've been praying for them for 31 years. And I'm not going to give up. Don't give up. If you're praying for a lost loved one, keep praying. It's like Billy Sunday once said, if you find yourself going through hell, keep going. We're praying for Jesse and his mom to get saved. Rachel's dad, Ralph. The Bolton family has a bunch of unsaved Catholic family members. Colby Bohan needs to get saved. Dina Long, as she's asking for prayers for salvation for her son, Jordan. And keep Dina in your prayers. She's traveling up. We prayed for her in the podcast on Friday. But just pray that the Lord gives her a witness while she's up there. Her son, Jordan, that we're praying salvation for, he just graduated from the Mount Hermon School, started by D.L. Moody. And pray for him to get saved. David Peck for salvation, Susan Weir's Bicky. She wants her whole family saved. Valerie, Marie, and husband and son, both named Greg. Kentucky Jeffrey, it's been a pleasure seeing him here this weekend, and this is like his third or fourth time here. He made some amazing bumper stickers that we've been handing out to everybody. And he wants salvation for Tyler, Tevin, Caitlin, and Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jay and Bob from Wisconsin asking for prayers for unsaved Catholic family members. Danielle for salvation. Connie has three kids. They need to get saved. Joshua Gaskins and wife April. Salvation prayers for Stephanie and Michael, and also for Uncle Steve Davignon. Working on my French accent since writing about Emmanuel Macron. Joshua Gaskins wants salvation for Stephanie, Michael, and Uncle Steve. And I had a message just the other day from his father-in-law, Tony Barcina. He got saved a couple of weeks ago, and he asks if everybody would just pray for him to get closer to the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't end when you get saved. The work just starts, and we rejoice with our brother Tony. He's the father-in-law of Joshua Gaskins, and the Lord is working on him. He's working him over a little bit, but that's what the Lord does. So please keep Tony Barcina in your prayers. Brandy asking prayers for her family's salvation. Rita in Colorado asking prayers for Dan's salvation. We're praying for two gentlemen named Ron to get saved. And you know who you are, and one of you may be listening right now. What are you waiting for? Get saved. Spray of Sunshine, salvation for three sons, Daniel, Patrick, and Brian. Shannon is praying for Lori W. and Brian M. Patrick needs to be saved. Rick Dotson needs to be saved. Jan Lacker praying for son David. Barbara, salvation for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandel, who is a transgender. Nicole Zimmer, prayers for salvation for her best friend and her family, the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne, Everybody was asking about him at the camp meeting yesterday, and very sad to see that he was not here, but hopefully he'll be back for Knights of Lights. Cheyenne is asking salvation for Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick Rick, and Beth. Karen is asking for salvation for children Jason and Tiffany, and grandchildren Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara, salvation for her son Jody. Mark Sherlock, salvation for four-year-old Savannah and her mom Stephanie. Werner Bukes, up in Canada, salvation for friends Bob and Abby, who are into paganism. Nancy is asking salvation prayers for Brandon and Michelle. Jill, salvation for her husband Jerome and son and daughter. Kathy Hughes, son for salvation. Haley C. is praying for Zane, who is a Jehovah's Witness. He needs to get saved. Lulu, asking for prayers for unsaved family members. Annetta, who is recovering from a stroke in the hospital, and she is starting to recover. We are praying for her. I think she might be saved already, but just pray for her for salvation anyway. It certainly doesn't hurt. Miles and his family need to get saved. The Giacomino family, and I don't normally list all the names of the kids because it's a lot of them, but we're going to do it all today. The Giacominos are praying for Dennis, Michelle, Lorenzo, Roman, Gianna, Jessica, Sophia, Justin, Blondie, Giovanni, Luca, Dominic, Deb, Maurice, Courtney, Josh, Gabe, Haley, Emma, Amy, Rachel, Dan, Evie, Lincoln, Felicia, Ethan, Bob, Stacy, Lauren, Andrew, and Karen. Dawn D, salvation prayers for David. He's a Roman Catholic, but he knows the truth about the Mark of the Beast. Paul Caulfield up in Canada, salvation for his father Fred and his sister Susan and Peggy's brother Frank. Peggy is his wife. Karen F. in Alabama, salvation prayers and healing from cancer. Ramona Hayes, asking prayers for her daughter Kimberly for salvation and deliverance from alcohol. Also, salvation prayers for her grandchildren, William, Jason, David, and Amanda. Patrick, salvation prayers for Jack and Aaron. Chelsea B., over on the West Coast, salvation for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Suzanne Wood is would like salvation prayers for her neighbors, friends, and family. Adam would like salvation prayers for his wife, Shayna. Lori B. I lost it. Where is it? Lori B. needs to get saved. Sharon McPherson, please pray for my sons, Scott, for salvation, and daughter, Nicole, who is saved but backslidden. Lori Ann is praying for her grandfather, Irvin, to be saved. Cheryl and Mark Fennell need to be saved. Kevin Thompson is asking for salvation prayers for his father, Tim, his sister's husband, John, Kylie's father and brother, as well as friends and co-workers. Steve Graves need to get saved. Elga for salvation. Praying for many in the Ukraine that we have sent those 12,000 Bibles to. We pray that many would get saved. Rob is asking for salvation prayers for his three children, Max, Olivia, and Mikey. Speaking of Hollywood, we have put my old coworker Matt Dillon on the prayer list for salvation. I gave him a gospel track 25 years ago, and he crosses my mind from time to time. I worked on four different movies with him, and he absolutely needs to get saved. So please pray for Hollywood actor Matt Dillon. Phyllis T. is asking for salvation prayers for her husband. Retired Captain Brian A. Robbins, his daughter Summer, attended our camp meeting yesterday, and it was great seeing her again. She attends Suncoast Baptist Church, and she was here in support of her pastor, Pastor Joel Tillis. And she's been praying for her father, a retired Navy SEAL, Brian Robbins, to get saved. Todd Broom's brother, Thad, for salvation. Marie's friends, family, Ashley Dayton, Alyssa, Kyle, Brandon, Grace, Micah, and Macy. Adam and Katie are asking salvation prayers for parents, sisters, brother-in-law, nieces, and nephews. Both families in Adam and Katie's families have strong occultic ties and Roman Catholicism. That's redundant, but true. But pray for Adam and Katie's families. Gary Tatterson is asking for salvation prayers for his parents, his brother Jeff, and cousin Joe Russiello. Joe Russiello is asking for salvation prayers for his mother, sister, granddaughter, and in-laws. Ellen would like salvation prayers for her grandsons, Braden and Logan. His Grace says salvation prayers, please, for Rob, Summer, Sue, and Mike, Carl, Jason, Rachel, Jason, and Carrie. Lola's son William and his wife Lindsay need to be saved. Hannah's mom needs to get saved. Bruce Bridges praying for his two exchange students, Elena from Italy and Milena from Spain. And he's asking prayers that him and his wife would be able to lead one or both of them to salvation. Amen. Anja, salvation prayers for Hanu, John, Charles, and Anna Lilsa. Dave Evans, Water Dog, is asking salvation prayers for his friend Taylor, who is an atheist. Viviana, asking for salvation prayers for her brother Javier Reyes. My childhood friend Scott Thaler, who developed blood cancer after getting the vaccine. He needs to get saved. And Joshua Gaskins is asking for salvation prayers for Wyman Guthrie and his wife. Miss Kathy, sister-in-law Andrea, has COPD and is battling COVID. If somebody could give me an update on that, she can't still be battling COVID 5 months later. I'm going to take her off the list, but somebody please let me know if she needs to be put back on the list. She can't still have COVID after all this time. Harmon's son, Michael, battling pancreatic cancer. Chuck Price is praying for a brother who is dying of cancer that the Lord would give him a testimony with the time that he has left. Dawn Martin, best friend's stepbrother Toby, brain aneurysm and in a coma, prayers for salvation and healing. Cody Baker's dad has leukemia. Suzanne would like prayers for her friend Rich's daughter who was in her 20s and has cancer. Hospice has stepped in. She is a believer and she has a 9-year-old daughter. Karen from Alabama is an unsaved Catholic with lymph node cancer. She needs prayers for salvation and healing. Catherine B. is chronically ill with kidney failure and on dialysis. She wrote me a great letter. I read it on the podcast on Friday. What a blessing she is. And please pray for her as she goes through her various health challenges. But she's a strong believer. She says that she listens to our broadcast while she's having dialysis. Man, that's the right attitude. Wherever the Lord puts you, try to get something done for him. And she is certainly doing that. Pam is battling glaucoma and needs our prayers. Patty's husband, Jerry, has cancer and needs prayers. He's experiencing lately some more severe health problems. So please, Jerry Rogalski, make sure that he's on your prayer list. Katrina, 25-year-old wife and mother, has metastatic breast cancer. Tom is a 53-year-old man with spina bifida. When he was born, his parents told him he wouldn't, his parents were told by the doctors he would not live for more than 7 days. Well, that's how much doctors know. The great physician has determined that he has lived for 53 years so far. Tom has a tracheostomy tube, and he is asking for prayers that his health would change so that tube can come out and he can go back to attending church with his family. Please pray for Tom to have that tube taken out. Bonnie Chadwell's cousin Doug, prostate cancer, he's going to be having surgery on the 6th of June at 8:45 a.m. Pray for Bonnie Chadwell's cousin Doug. Penny LaSalle's mother, Linda, is in hospice care. Please pray. Patty D's son, battling pornography. Please pray for my son, Calvin, that God would get a hold of his heart. Char's husband needs prayer for constant back pain. Kathy Giacomino. Prayers that these family members who are saved would be on fire for the Lord. Tammy, Pedro, Parker, Caden, Stephanie, Steve, Owen, and Ian. Danielle and Charlene have a huge financial burden and are asking for prayers that this burden be lifted. Joshua Gaskin's co-worker's 14-year-old daughter, battling depression and suicidal thoughts, needs our prayers. My childhood friend Greg Kellogg has kidney and heart problems. He's asking for prayer. Ryan asking for prayers for his brother Brennan. Brennan is saved but struggling with addiction for several years now. But he's sober, but he's in need of a good church family. Lulu Morrison, daughter Linda needs prayer. She has diabetes and other issues. Please pray for her daughter Linda. Joe Rusiello, please continue to pray for his wife and her walk with the Lord. Jackie H. over in New Mexico needs the Lord's intervention in a matter with her son. Patty Dickerson is asking prayers that she would be able to keep her driver's license. Mary Jane is asking prayers for her sister Rianne. Rianne is a mother and a grandmother who has decided that she was supposed to be a man and has started to do gender transitioning. And just pray that God would get a hold of her, not just her heart, but her mind as well. Because it seems to be failing her, and we need to pray her back into a right way of thinking. If you were born as a man or a woman, that's what you're supposed to be. Marie Comfort, her friend Cora, needs prayers for healing. Derek O'Reilly over in Dublin, asking for prayers that God would have mercy on him and his mother Patricia, to keep their faith strong in these end times. Daniel and Charlene Spears need prayers for God's will to speedily deliver them from ongoing financial hardship. Donna Rogers is asking for prayers for her family and for her health and for spiritual attacks. Gail Burge asking prayers for her daughter who has an eating disorder. Jeanette from Wisconsin needs prayers for two medical problems. Her husband, Bob, has shingles and also needs prayer. Shingles is in the herpes family, the chickenpox family, taking 2,000 milligrams of lysine every day should really help out with that. So investigate that, but absolutely we will continue to pray for Bob Shingles. Alicia Smith would like prayers for health-related issues. Char is asking for prayers for her stepson, who they believe has a form of epilepsy. Prayers for healing and to direct the doctors for answers. Also, prayers for his mother to be comforted and for her salvation. Suzanne Smith is asking prayers that God would give her direction on where to move. Speaking of moving, in about 2.5 weeks, Lori Carrier and her two kids are moving down to St. Augustine. Lori has just accepted a position at the bookstore. And please keep them in your prayers. We established a GoFundMe. Gail Comfort started that. Just go to GoFundMe.com and type in the words Move Lori, L-O-R-I. And if the Lord puts on your heart to donate to that fundraiser, moving is expensive. If the Lord moves you to do that, well, amen. Gail Boudreau and her family are leaving Montana and relocating to Tennessee and asking that the Lord be in it and that they don't know anybody in Tennessee, but they are trusting that the Lord has a plan in place. You know, I kind of like that. When I came here to Florida, I didn't know anybody. I didn't have a friend. I didn't have a family member. You know what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Sometimes you just got to move. You just got to go. And when the Lord says go, you go. He'll provide. Lola White's mom broke her foot and needs prayer. Unspoken prayers, Elizabeth, Chelsea, Little Toe, Rachel, Katie, Carol, Rachel Adams, Joyce, and Lori Ann. Well, I think I could take Lori Ann. Her unspoken is I just spoke it. but keep that in your prayers. Please remember our overseas missionaries in the Philippines, Pastor John Reed, Danny, and Arnell. In Vietnam, Pastor Fojan. Remember Luann in Turkey. She's an American from Sarasota ministering to Muslims. And please remember our free Bible and gospel track program. Many of you yesterday and today donated to that program, and I am so appreciative that that you guys support that program to the level that you do. Just over this weekend, we raised enough for five more rolls of paper. That is 2,500 full King James Bibles or 10,000 New Testaments. So thank you to everybody who supports that program. Remember our street preachers, and I normally say Jeffrey in Ohio, but he's not in Ohio today. He's in downtown St. Augustine getting ready to preach on the streets. Kyle and Reagan in Baton Rouge, Joshua Gaskins in Virginia, Werner Bukes, Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian Breda, Jeffrey Sapasinik, Greg Scott up in Canada. Remember Street Preacher Marie from Philadelphia. She's here too. She's here in the studio, actually. Keep her in your prayers. Joseph Rusiello has a street preaching ministry in Eagle Pass. Mike Avram, he's a truck driver who leaves Ruckman Reference Bibles at truck stops. Amen. And please pray for his efforts. And in Australia, we're praying for Jennifer Thompson and Henry Biggs. And in South Africa, remember Arthur from South Africa. Chelsea B has a praise report. She was able, if you recall, we prayed for about a month and a half that she would be able to sell her real estate property. And she was, and she did. And she is just thrilled that she was able to do that. Palmetto State Guy, please pray for my mother. She had a major stroke on April 20th. She did not take the jab. It was due to the doctor taking her off of blood thinner. She's making progress. She's saved. She's 88, and her name is Eunice. Please pray for my mom, Eunice. Gary 33, prayer request. Please pray that my coworkers will start reading the gospel tracts that I distribute at my hospital and get saved. I've been finding a lot ripped up lately in the garbage can, and that's okay. I can tell you some stories about people who went into a garbage can, pulled a tract out, read it, and prayed to get saved on the spot. And that's true. Jacoby Butterfield, please pray for me. I'll be meeting with my dad next weekend for the first time in 13 years. And I'll be witnessing to him with my brother. I hope that he either is saved or will get saved. Amen. Sometimes witnessing to your family is a scary proposition. But that's what we're called to do. We're called to be witnesses. Julia, my mom has a leaky heart valve. Terry Bryant has a praise report. She says, talking to all of us, after your prayers for my twin sister, Sherry, the Lord made a way for us to communicate. I love how he works through prayer. He's teaching me how to talk to her, and slowly but surely, he's made a way for us. And amen. We rejoice with you over that. Jay from Wisconsin, praise report. Bob Shingles have stopped moving towards his eyes after you all prayed for him last week. Amen. Amen. I like to hear that. He is starting to heal now. Thank you, God. And thank you, my NTEB family, for praying. Catherine B., prayer request. I'm having a aortic valve replacement Wednesday the 25th. So put Catherine B. at the top of your prayer list, please. Nihal Pereira, prayers for my unsaved Catholic two sisters and a brother who is an atheist. Desiree, I need prayer for salvation for Michael and Mary Lewis, please. Timothy, please pray for my friend John G., bladder cancer. Freddie, please pray for Stephanie Stephen Woodside. Nat, salvation for Catholic family members and a New Age sister. Terry Bryant, salvation prayers for my children, nieces, and nephews. Guest Pattydom, prayers for beautiful son Ethan to be saved and overcome addiction. Shannon says, praying for me, thank you, and for the entire NTEB ministry for this afternoon's street preaching prayers, that all who will go will have boldness in the Holy Spirit, and that they will all have fruit added to their account that will surprise them. Amen. That's a good prayer. Rapture 57, please don't forget the 15-year-old who tried to kill himself. He came home finally and the next day had seizures. Airlifted back to hospital the other day. Keep that young boy in your prayers. Joshua Gaskins, prayers for a 9-year-old daughter that told my daughter she is a bisexual. Huh. And loves doing evil. Man. My daughter witnessed to her. Amen. You go, girl. You go. Yeah. That's where we are today. 9-year-olds telling other 9-year-old kids that you need to change your gender and do all sorts of this junk. And it is the rising spirit of Antichrist. But pray for that girl who witnessed, well, she witnessed the wrong thing. She witnessed evil to Joshua's daughter, but her daughter witnessed the gospel. His daughter witnessed the gospel right back to her. And so just pray that that would bear much fruit. Also, please, please pray as we continue to take steps forward to planting a church here in St. Augustine. And I'm going to talk about that in the message today. And it's already begun. And the Lord is doing something. But man, oh man, do I need a lot of wisdom about this. A lot of wisdom. So please keep that in your prayers, but we'll talk about that more later. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we thank you. We praise you. Father God, you are good to us. You are so much better than we deserve. And, Lord, you've just been dumping it on us. And we thank you, God. And for all these people who need a physical healing, Catherine B's surgery and Bob Shingles, and for everybody battling cancer and COVID, and Bonnie Chadwell's cousin Doug, and John Henry in the hospital, and Dennis Giacomino, and everybody else who needs a healing, who needs restoration, who needs liberty, Lord. We ask you to work and move as only you can, God. And Lord, our prayers are so simple. They're not complicated. They're not theological. A Greek or Hebrew scholar would laugh at our prayers. But Lord, you just get in it. You do something. You make it work however you want to do it. That's fine with us. And Lord, if nobody wants you, God, we want you. You have a home here at Now the End Begins. If nobody wants your book, we want your book, Lord, and we are proud not simply just to use it, as the manner of some is, but we stand upon it as absolute authority, Lord. And Father God, we ask you to come and meet with us again today as we continue. This is day 3 of our camp meeting weekend, and we are just so glad and we are so amazed at what you're doing, what you're getting done. And Lord, just take us out of the way. You take control. Let it be for your glory, for our good, and we'll just trust you. Thank you for waking us up today. Thank you for the food on the table. Thank you for the fellowship lunch that we're going to have later. Anoint our street preaching today. Keep the crazies away from us. But close enough that they can hear the gospel. Amen. Amen. But just touch everything that we do, Lord. We want you. We need you. And we lift you up today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the theme of our camp meeting weekend, given to us by Marie Comfort, is just one more soul. Amen.
The singers are tired. The church, as we know it, is losing its fire. And some are discouraged from bearing the load. But we must determine to keep pressing on. Cause it's just one more soul were to walk down the aisle. It would be worth every struggle. It would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all. If it rescues just one more soul. So preachers keep preaching, and singers go sing, and laymen keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. Cause it's just one more soul we're to walk down the aisle.
Right, it's time to get into today's message. Turn to Romans chapter 13, if you'd be so kind, in your King James Bible. And let's listen to what the Apostle Paul has to say. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all these that you've gathered here. We thank you, Lord, for how you provide and lead and guide and protect. And Father God, meet with us now. We just pray for the lost people who listen to this broadcast, that something would be said and done today that would lead that lost soul to you. And for those of us that are saved, we just pray, Father God, that you would just give us a new holy unction. Fill us, Lord. Give us a desire to get something done for you in these last days. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I had said that song, Just One More Soul, it's on the back of our shirts. I'm wearing one of those shirts right now. And on the back of the shirt, there's that beautiful image that we have on one of our billboards of Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross. And over the top of it, it says, Just One More Soul. What was he doing on the cross? He was paying for souls to get out of hell, or to not go to hell. And what he was doing on the cross was a legally binding transaction. He paid for your sins. You get his righteousness. That's what it is. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Some people are very emotional when they get saved. Some people break down. They weep. They cry. They shout. They laugh. Whatever it is. But you're just as saved if you have no emotional reaction at all. It's not about emotion. It's not about feeling. Nothing wrong with emotions and feeling. But you've got to understand that salvation is a legally binding transaction. Where do you think we get our concept of law from anyway? You think our forefathers just made it up? No, it all comes from the Bible. Everything good comes from the Bible. Marie Comfort, she is such a blessing to me. And I would never compare myself to D.L. Moody ever. I mean, to me, he is the pinnacle of the guy who did it right. I did it the wrong way, the hard way, the long way, the stupid way. That's how I have done it. But the way that D.L. Moody did it, from all accounts, he did it the right way. And I just, man, I can't wait to meet him in heaven. I'm looking forward to having some great conversations with D.L. Moody. But one of the things that God gave D.L. Moody, God has given me as well. He's given me some great white-haired saints that pray. They pray for me. They pray for this ministry. They pray for you guys. And I was talking with Marie yesterday, and she had, you should have just seen the look on her face, 84 years old, and she's on fire for God, needs a little help getting around, but man, oh man, she is still in the fight. She's still getting something done. And she said to me something yesterday that really stuck in my head. She said, "Well, all I can do is pray." All I can do is pray. You know what that reminded me of? It reminded me of that story of the two women that prayed for Moody. And I think this is really timely to what we're talking about today with redeeming the time. After the Chicago fire of 1871, Moody was a little bit discouraged. He was tired. He didn't give the altar call in his message on the morning of the fire. He thought, well, they'll come back tonight. And they never came back because the church burned. Half of Chicago burned to the ground, and a number of people from his congregation did not live through the fire. And he took it really hard. He took it personally, and it really bothered him that he didn't give the altar. Now, it's not up to him. It's not up to me and you. It's up to the Lord, and people need to be under conviction to get saved. But he had a real heart for his people, and it just bothered him that he never gave the altar call that day. So he decided that he was going to take a overseas voyage. He was going to go over to Europe and maybe go meet Spurgeon and spend some time with some of the great preachers there and to listen to some preaching. And he just needed to get charged back up. He just needed, I mean, his tank was absolutely empty. Well, one Sunday morning he found himself in a church in London, and everything about the service was just dragging. He said he wasn't going to preach, but when he got over there, they persuaded him to preach, and the service was just not going well. It was going very badly. And there was a woman in the city who had heard of Mr. Moody's work in America and had been asking God to send him to London. Moody had no idea. But this woman was an invalid, and she couldn't get out of bed. All she could do was pray. Now, her sister that she lived with, she was present in the church that Sunday morning. And when the hearer reached home, she asked her sister to guess who had spoken for them that morning. She guessed one name. She guessed another name. But she was unable to guess who the surprise speaker was at their church that morning. Her sister said, "No, it's Mr. Moody from Chicago." The sick woman turned pale and said to her sister, "This is an answer to my prayer." If I had known that he was to be at our church, I would have eaten nothing this morning but waited on God in prayer. She turned to her sister and said, "Leave me alone this afternoon. Do not let anyone come to see me. Do not send me anything to eat." And all that afternoon, the woman gave herself to prayer, and at night, Moody preached. And he soon became aware that there was a different spirit in the church. The powers of an unseen world seemed to fall upon him and his hearers. And as he drew to a close, he felt pressed to reach out and to give an invitation. He asked for all who would accept Christ. Remember, he didn't give the invitation in Chicago, and some of his people died in that fire. Well, he's not making that same mistake twice. And now he gives the invitation, and 400 or 500 people rose. Well, he thought that they misunderstood him. So he rephrased the question several ways, several times, but there was no mistake. They had understood, and hundreds of people came forward and got saved. That woman, that sick, invalid woman, couldn't even get out of bed, but she had been praying that God would send Mr. Moody to England. Surprise, surprise, Mr. Moody shows up at her church, but she's not there. She doesn't need to be there. Remember when the Roman centurion, he came to Jesus and said, "Go, I need you to heal my son, but you don't have to come to my house. You just say the word, and I'll believe that he'll be, you just speak it, Lord, and I'll believe it." And this one invalid woman prayed Mr. Moody all the way to England. And if you're a student of church history, you know that that was the start of the first revival in 1871, lasted for 2.5 years, and hundreds of thousands of people got saved. It was one of the most exciting revivals in 2,000 years, and it happened twice. And that fire came back to America, and Moody would preach to crowds of 20, 30,000 people at a time with no microphone and no electricity. Can you imagine that? But the point of what I'm saying is, all of that, the entire revival, the 500 people getting saved in that church that day, and that revival lasted over 25 years from one woman too sick to get out of bed. And that's what I reminded Marie Comfort of yesterday. And for everyone who prays for this ministry, there's many of you that all you can do, all that you are able to do is pray. And that is the most powerful thing that anyone can do. So I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for the white-haired saints that God has given me in this ministry and for all of you that pray. That is where our power is. We did a Bible study on that last week. But that's exactly where our power is. It's in prayer. And I thank God for the white-haired saints like Marie Comfort and Lulu Morrison and all the other ones who pray faithfully for this ministry. We couldn't do it without you guys. Now, speaking of this ministry, we have been talking for quite some time, both publicly and privately, about, is the Lord bringing us to that next level where we're going to have an actual NTEB church over which I would be the pastor? And it looks like that's what's happening. And this studio where I normally, it's just me and the Holy Spirit on the Sunday morning, this studio is fairly filled with people. And as we were praying this morning, I just welled up with tears and I realized that, you know, we're talking about starting a church and it's already started and the congregation's already sitting here. And this is, you know, so, I mean, that's how the Lord works. And that's been the desire of my heart for 31 years to be in full-time ministry, to be a pastor, to be a preacher. That's all that I ever wanted. And all these years later, the Lord is still working it. He's still doing it. And faithful is he that who has called you and will do it. And I'm just in awe of what God is doing, absolutely in awe of what God is doing. So next week, I'm going to be going to Suncoast Baptist Church and going to be spending some time with Pastor Tillis and the people there. And him and I are going to talk about planting the NTEB, I don't know what we call it, maybe the Rapture Bible Church or something like that. That's happening. So please keep that in your prayers. And if you've been thinking about moving to Florida, why don't you move to St. Augustine and come and be a part of the work that we're doing here? I know that sounds like I maybe said that flippantly, but people are actually moving here. And I'll talk more about that as things proceed. If you've ever wanted to move to Florida, why don't you come spend a couple years here in St. Augustine? Or who knows? Maybe we'll just have time for one service and the rapture will happen. But I know this. Every day, and we're talking about time. Let's get into the message today. We're talking about time, right? We're talking about time. And I don't know how much time we have left. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 says, 14 through 21. I thought I was going to get by with just one verse, but I got to give context. Ephesians 5, 14 through 21. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Paul says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's the context. Verse 16, Paul says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. If you would have told me that I would have lived long enough to see childhood friends pass away, my mother die, all my grandparents die, my father die, and my brother die, I would have thought, wow, that's a crazy idea. But I have lived long enough to see that. During the pandemic last year, three first-level friends of mine got COVID and died. I don't know how much longer I have. Maybe I just have another couple of hours or a couple of days or a couple of years. I don't know, and you don't know. But you see, that's what. But the Bible knows. The Bible knows. Now you say to me, wait a second, that doesn't sound right. The Bible knows when I'm going to die? Well, if you believe the Bible, how do you account for Hebrews 4:12? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You don't think that book knows when you're going to die? You're crazy. That book is alive. That King James word for the word of God is quick. That means to quicken. If you haven't gotten yourself a copy of Webster's 1828 dictionary, we invite you to go to BibleBeliever.com and go get one from our bookstore. But in the meantime, that word quick is an old English word which means to make alive. For the word of God is alive and powerful, and it is It is discerning the thoughts and the intents of your heart. That book reads you while you read it. Now, I'm just one of those crazy nuts that believes that that book is alive and that that book can read me while I read it. So, do I think that that book knows when I'm going to die? It absolutely does. Why? Because it's living. It's a living, holy, divine, supernatural book. Those are the words of God. That Roman centurion said, Jesus, you don't need to, hey, no offense, not that I don't want you to go. You don't have to go to my house because I know all you got to do is speak that word and my son will be healed. All you got to do, you say it, I believe it. And well, so you don't think that that book knows when you're going to die? God's book, God's living supernatural book that reads you? I think it does. So the Apostle Paul says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And I've told you the story before about the man last year who kind of snidely said, you're starting a bookstore, but you're also telling people the rapture could be any day. Isn't that, what did he say? Isn't that being a little bit hypocritical? And I said, no, not at all. I want to go out very busy for the Lord. Why do you think Dr. Ruckman continued preaching well into his 90s? Even after he was legally blind. And I can remember the last couple of times that he preached in Jacksonville. And I played the piano while he gave the invitation. And so what I was able to see being on the podium next to him, being really close to him, looking in his eyes while he was talking, and he wasn't able to see more than 5 or 6 feet in front of him. And he would talk about that, but he never really let you know how hard it was for him to see. And if you look at his Chalk Talk drawings from the last year of his life, and I have one of those drawings. If you look at his Chalk Talks, the artwork that he made in his last year, and then you look at when he was at the peak of his powers in the 70s and 80s, I mean, it looks like stick figures practically. And why? Because his eyes were giving out and his body was giving out. And he had pain all the time. And it was a struggle to preach. So why didn't he just take it easy? He certainly deserved it. He got saved in 49. He started his school in the early 60s, went through 8 years of college. And all through the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, the teens. And then he died on April 20th of 2016. But the point of what I'm saying is, why did that man, why did he keep preaching almost up until just a couple months before he died? Because he wanted to go out, whether it was by death or by rapture. He wanted to go out on fire for God, getting something done, because nobody knows when their last day is going to be. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:29, but this I say, brethren, that time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they that wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. And he says in verse 32, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And what is Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 7? He's saying, if you find yourself single, well, stay single. And get something done. Make the Lord your priority. And he says, time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. And what Paul is telling us, he is saying that you're going to be really, really, really happy when you get to heaven. that you made the Lord your priority, because that's where it's all going to pay off. That's where we're finally going to see this is what we've been working for. Remember the story of Frank Jenner from Australia, and he handed out gospel tracts on a street corner in Australia for 40 years. And it was only in the last 3 months of his life that a pastor finally tracked him down. They figured out, where are all these saved people getting saved in downtown Australia? Well, they did some digging and they traced it back to this crazy old guy who stood on the street corner asking people that if they died tonight, did they know that they were going to heaven? And that man stood on that corner for almost 40 years and nobody prayed to get saved with Frank Jenner. Now, we've been preaching on the street for 9 years. We've had dozens of people pray to get saved. I can't imagine what it would be like 40 years and no fruit. You would kind of have to think that you were doing it the wrong way. I mean, that's what I would think. But this pastor finally tracked down Frank Jenner, and he told him story after story after story, and it was in the thousands of people, and all these people who got saved, a lot of them became pastors and evangelists and preachers, and other people got saved under their ministries, and Frank Jenner had no idea that many people had gotten saved until this pastor, this charismatic pastor, tracked him down and said, hey, I just want to let you know that this is what I've found, and it's all traced back to you. And as the story goes, we've actually played that audio. I haven't played it in a while, but maybe we'll do it, Wednesday night or something. Frank Jenner he had no words. He just sat there and cried. And he was just flabbergasted. 40 years. And he had no idea that anybody got saved, much less thousands of people. And then the pastor, their time came to an end. He promised that he would stop back and visit with him again. But Frank Jenner died just a couple of weeks later. But God let him go for 40 years before he showed him just a little bit of the fruit from the work that God had called him to do. Now, you ask yourself this question: what on earth would possess somebody to labor in a field for 40 years with no visible fruit? Well, what would possess somebody to do that is not on this earth and not of this earth. That is the Holy Spirit of God. That is, and Frank Jenner had the right frame of mind. Why do we do these things? You know, I was talking with somebody recently, I can't remember when, but I was talking with somebody, and they know somebody who is he was called to the ministry, and he's in the ministry. But he wants to operate it like a business and looking at it as a career move. Let me tell you something. If you think that you've been called to the ministry and you're looking at that as a career, you should get right back out. You should just quit right away, because that is not the motivation. People ask me, why do we preach on the streets? And I have a very simple 4-word sentence to tell you why we preach on the streets: because hell is real. There's no other reason to preach on the street. It's hot, it's tiring, people take shots at you. Just ask street preacher Marie if people take shots at you. And thank God for Chris Hart, who jumped in and pulled that guy off, and then I had to jump in and pull Chris off. But the point of what I'm saying is, street preaching, we like it, but we're crazy, okay? And we like it because that is the front lines, because everybody in the New Testament was a street preacher. Everybody in the Old Testament was a street preacher. Nothing against church buildings, but everybody in the Bible was a street preaching house church person. And it is, if you love the Lord, then you're going to love street preaching. If you're doing it to be quote unquote in the ministry, you're going to hate every second of it. I remember one time where this woman, she got so enraged because we were preaching the gospel. She grabbed our box of tracts, and I probably had about 900 tracts in that box. And like a psychopath, she grabs that box and she goes running down the street screaming something about Satan. She goes up to a dumpster and she throws the entire box of tracts into this nasty pile of garbage. And I looked at that and I looked at her. She was just crazy. And I looked at the tracts and I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm not going in that dumpster. I'm not taking those tracks back out. And I didn't. But the point of what I'm saying is, over 9 years of street preaching, I have seen people take out switchblades and open them. I have seen men who were bigger than I am stand there, and I'm watching their fist, their hand being formed into a fist, and they're pulling it back like they're going to hit me. And you know, the funny thing is, when you're street preaching, you really don't have the authority to operate as if you were just walking down the street and somebody came after you. That's a different story. But it gets kind of sticky when you're preaching the gospel, especially if you believe like Acts chapter 5, where it says this. Acts chapter 5, verse 41 and 42, and they departed from the presence of the council, the apostles, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And the verse right before that, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Peter was a pansy? I think Peter was a tough guy. I think Peter could probably knock out two or three guys at the same time. Peter tried to cut off the head of Malchus with his sword in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he missed and only got his ear. Do you think the apostles were sissies? Not at all. These were commercial fishermen. They were tough guys. They got up early. They worked hard. And they were used to storms and having, what do they call, calluses and what is it called when it fills with the flu? Blisters all over their hands. But you know what they did? They took their lumps. Why? Because it was for the cause of Jesus Christ. It was a witness. It was a testimony. Remember when Pilate turned to the Lord and he said, you know, you're not answering me? Shouldn't you? I have the power to let you go. And Jesus says, nope. He says, you would have no power at all except it be given you from above. But what did Jesus do? Being reviled, he reviled not again. And he took it. He took the stripes. He took the pounding. He took the punching. He took the crown of thorns. Now, let me just take out my calculator. And I want to show you something about, you know, like whenever you watch those movies and he's not really being whipped. Now, in that Mel Gibson movie, The Passion, that movie probably came as close to anything as showing you what his body looked like after taking that pounding. But even that movie didn't go far enough, and I'll show you why right now. The Bible says that there were two Roman guards with a cat of nine tails. Now, how many tails does a cat of nine tails have? It has nine. And there were two Roman guards, that's 18. And every 6 inches or so, there would be a piece of broken glass or a sharp piece of rock or metal that was wrapped into the cat of nine tails. So let's just say that that cat of nine tails and the tail was about 2 feet long. So we'll figure that there were five or six sharp pieces of something, whether it was bone or rock or glass or whatever it was, that those two cat of nine tails had about, let's say, five sharp pieces for every tail. So if we take 18 times 5 equals 90 times 40, 3,600. Now, let's just say that a couple of the tails were on top of each other. Let's say that not all 18 tails hit him each one of those 40 times. So let's reduce 3,600. Let's cut it in half. Let's make it 1,800. Close your eyes and picture 1,800 incisions on his back. That's truth. That's what the Bible shows. Now, do you think that that Mel Gibson movie, do you think it showed that? No. 1,800. Have you ever worked as a nurse in the ER? Have you ever worked in trauma care and people come in with lacerations? Has anybody ever come in with 1,800 lacerations? And it was not administered by some panty waist person. These were Roman guards that were every bit as tough as the commercial fishermen. And don't you think that they pulled back with as strong as they could go? And they got those metal bits and those sharp pieces of bone and broken glass and rock, and they pulled it back with all their might. You know what his back looked like? His back looked like a horror movie that even Hollywood could not reproduce. Why would he do that? Isaiah 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Why? Because he's been beaten to death. That's not that, you know, people say that Jesus was not handsome. That's not true at all. Isaiah 53 is talking about his condition after taking the beating. He has no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him, because he's lacerated and flayed like a deer and dripping with blood. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces from him. Yes, because we were ashamed. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And I said all that to say this, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace. 1,800 lacerations in his back. A crown of thorns on his head. You know, last week I was working out at the gym, and there was on the lateral pull-down thing, there was the pin that you go to put into the weights, and this little curly piece of metal that holds it to the machine had fallen out, and I went to take the pin out of the thing, and there was just a tiny little, almost invisible but very sharp piece of plastic where the cable had ripped out. And I pressed with my thumb, thinking that I'm pulling out the pin, and that sharp little piece of plastic went right into my thumb, and I saw stars. It was excruciating. How about 1,800 lacerations in your back administered by Roman guards that were 6'1" and 250 pounds apiece and who were enjoying making it as hard as possible? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. What does this have to do with redeeming the time? Everything. Why do we give up this much time? Why? We do it because look what he did. Jesus came down and gave up 33 years. Can you imagine what it would be like if you bought a puppy and you raised that puppy, and then that puppy got to be a big, strong dog, and then it attacked you? How would you feel about that? It wouldn't just be that you're being attacked by an animal. You were being attacked by your animal that you raised from a puppy. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks. But ye would not. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. You think the ministry is easy? It's not. And if you're looking for a flowery bed of ease and some comfy pillows, go work in corporate America. Go work someplace else. You know why it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Can you imagine being one of the remnant, the Jewish remnant in Sela Petra for 3.5 years, and you see this invisible force field all around the Red Rock city of Sela Petra, and you see the armies of Antichrist banging on an invisible window trying to get you, and they can't, and you're being kept safe there for 3.5 years, and by this time you know it's Jesus Christ, and then you look up in Revelation 19 and you see him coming down, and you see that he's kept you safe for 3.5 years. And you're weeping because you are ashamed of yourself, because your forefathers killed him. You know, Bible prophecy, when it starts to unfold and it starts to come true, it's not going to likely come true the way you think it is. And there's going to be a lot of sorrow and a lot of pain and a lot of heartache involved in that stuff. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and they which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Why do we preach on the streets? Because hell is real and people go there. Why do we hand out gospel tracts? Why do I work this 7 days a week? I'm trying to redeem the time. You know, look, your salvation was the work of a moment, and it was no work on your part at all. The hypers will say that, well, you can't pray to get saved because prayer is a work. If you think prayer is a work, then you've never worked a day in your life. Prayer is just simply talking with God. If that's work to you, then you don't know what work is. You should be. Pastor Joel yesterday, he gave the illustration in his sermon. A man had two sons, and the one son, he was the summa cum laude college student, and he was the guy who was straightening up the garage and cooking the meals and doing everything that his dad asked him to do. And he has a 4.0 plus average, and his room he kept spotless, and you know, he was just the good son. But he didn't have time to talk with the father because he was so busy being the good son. And then this man had a second son. And second son was a hot mess. He goes into the second son's room, and everything's all over the place. The dirty clothes aren't even in the hamper. His books are all over the place. It's just a complete and total mess. And the man sticks his head in the son's room, and before he can say anything about the absolute state of disrepair of his son's room, his son, who has Down syndrome, his eyes lit up and said, "Daddy!" That's what prayer is supposed to be. That's why we do this. You think we're holding a camp meeting for any other reason than to recharge the saints? That's the only reason. Why do we do it? to get people on fire for God, to send them back home and send them back out into the highways and byways so that they can compel others to come in and get saved while there's still time to do it. For 13 years, we've kept this ministry real simple. Part of what we do is, here's the world around you. We give you news articles about what's going on. And as much as we can, we relate it to Bible prophecy so that you can know that the time is at hand. Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." So part of what we do at Now the End Begins is we tell you what time it is. The other thing that we do is we work to see lost people get saved and saved people get on fire for God so that they can have something at the judgment seat of Christ. Why do we put so much focus on our free Bible and gospel tract program? So that we can get free Bibles and gospel tracts out to people who need them but can't afford them. Can you imagine when we all get to heaven? And believe me when I tell you that the free Bible and gospel tract program has grown to the point where it takes thousands of people to keep it going. There is no doubt about that. But can you imagine if Frank Jenner, 40 years of handing out one simple gospel tract, asking people, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And if you look on the back of the NTEB gospel tract, that's what I have on the header of the back of that tract, inspired by Frank Jenner. I just took it from him because it worked so well for him. I'm hoping it will do the same thing for us. And it's a great question to ask somebody. Everybody dies. And if you were to die today, where would you go? So, can you imagine? Last year, we handed out 11,411 Bibles. This year, we're at 25,000 right now. And if present trends continue, we're going to wind up around 60 or 70,000 free Bibles by the end of the year, which will, when you factor in shipping, that's about $150,000. Maybe even closer to $200,000. But the point of what I'm saying is, when we get to heaven, can you imagine all the souls that will be there that we never met, that we never heard about, that we never knew about, just like Frank Jenner? No idea. Thousands and thousands of people wound up getting saved, all traced back to his one gospel tract on a street corner in Australia. You don't think that these tens of thousands of Bibles that we're handing out, you don't think that that's going to bear massive fruit? And I'm not even talking crowns at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm talking the fruit of saved souls who will be with us in heaven. And they'll be coming up to us for years saying, "Hey, you don't know me. You don't know me, but I tried to kill myself and it didn't work. And somebody sent me a King James Bible." You. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You don't know how much time you have left. And I don't know how much time I have left. Could be today. I have no idea. I know I'm ready to go. And for as long as the Lord leaves me here, I want to get something done for him. And Now the End Begins is filled with people who think exactly like that. And that's what we're trying to do, to redeem the time. Believe me, when you get to heaven, when you are standing in heaven before the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever it is that you gave up for him will seem like a pittance. And you'll want to say, "God, send me back. Let me do it, because now that I see this, man, I can go back and do it right." And he'll say, "No. You only get rewarded when it was done by faith. You don't get the prize for knowledge. You get it for faith because you believed it." Remember what happened with Thomas? "I will not believe except I put my..." Now think about how disgusting a statement that is. Thomas said that he would not believe. He didn't just have to see the risen Jesus Christ. He said, no, I want to jab his open wounds with my fingers. That's really kind of a sick statement, don't you think? But what it shows you how destitute he was of faith. And what did Jesus say? He says, okay, you asked for me, here I am. That TV commercial from the 70s, you want it, you got it, Toyota. Well, what did Jesus say? You wanted to see me, you got it, here I am. Go ahead, poke away. And do you think that he stuck his finger? No. He fell down to his knees and said, my Lord and my God. He didn't need to stick his fingers in any holes in his body. And Jesus rebuked him. He didn't say, oh, you're a good boy. Thanks for getting up to speed. He said, no, you have seen and you've believed. That's pretty good. Okay, I guess. But how blessed are they which believe and have not seen? And you know what? That's our crowd. Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight. That's the crowd that we find ourselves in. The Bible says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. The Bible says this, and we'll end exactly where we started, Romans 13:11. And that, knowing the time, what time is it? Dr. Fauci time, Bill Gates time, New World Order time, the coming Antichrist time, human implantable microchips time. Do you know what time it is? And that, knowing the time, that now, not one day someday, Not, I would love to follow you, Lord, but I got to go bury my father. No, Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. That now, knowing the time, that now, right now, today, it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Whatever you give up for the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about it. He's going to pay you back tenfold in this life and the life that is to come. But you got to give it up. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your time. Anybody can write a check. And don't get me wrong, that's good. We would have no free Bible and tract program without people writing checks. But how much harder is it to give up yourself? To give up your time? When we preach on the streets, it's at the heart of a Saturday, 12 to 2 on a Saturday. If you've ever spent time in Florida, that is the filet mignon of time, 12 to 2 on a Saturday. That's beach time. Not for us. That's sweating time. That's preaching time. That's working time. And that, knowing the time, it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What are you going to do with the time that you have left? Think about it. And with that, we come to the end of our Sunday service, our camp meeting special edition Sunday service. We're so glad that you're tuning in. We're so glad that you're part of the NTEB global family of Bible believers. And please keep us in prayer as we get ready today to go and preach on the... Well, they've already been preaching on the streets for an hour, but we're going to go catch up with them. We're going to preach for a little bit, and we're going to have a fellowship lunch. So please keep us in your prayers. And Lord willing, we're going to see you right back tomorrow, noon Eastern time, Lord willing, for our Prophecy News podcast. Have a great Sunday, everybody.
Listen to me like you've never listened to me ever in your life. We have got to lay our lives down for the purposes of God. This is not a Sunday school picnic, the Church of Jesus Christ. This is not an invitation to have continuous good times. This is a war for the souls of men. Come out from among them. Run for your life. Because this is about your life. It's not just about an opposing theology or conflicting viewpoint on Jesus. This is about your life. My mind is forever branded with the story that I heard of police officers from the city of New York. As people were fleeing from a crumbling building, there were police officers and firemen and others that were running towards the building saying, run for your life at their own peril. And in some cases, I believe they knew they were going to die, but there was a sense of duty. I was crying out to God. I said, God, oh, Jesus, don't let my sense of duty be less for your kingdom than these beloved firemen and policemen were for those that are perishing in a falling tower. We're living in a generation when truth is falling into the streets. I want to be among those that are not running away from the conflict, but running into the conflict and saying, run for your life. Run from gospels that focus only on success and prosperity. Run! Run from those who use the name of Christ only for personal gain. Run from those that are picking your pocket in the name of Jesus. Run! Run from gospels that only focus on self-improvement. Run! Run from churches where men and not Christ are glorified. Run! Run! Body of Christ, run! Get out! Don't touch the unclean thing! Run from churches in America and Canada where there is no Bible. There's no cross in the theology. There's no soul-searching word. There's no repentance from sin. There's no mention of the blood of Jesus. Run! It's unclean! Run! Run from churches where you're comfortable in your sins. If you come into the house of God and you've got sin in your life and you're not convicted of it, you're at a table of devils. Run from pulpits that are filled with political men who are using the pulpit of God for a personal political agenda. Run! Run from those who preach division between races and cultures. Run! Run! Get out! Turn it off! Get away from it! They know nothing of God. Run from ungodly, spasmodic movements and endless, empty prophesying. Beloved church, run for your life. Run from preachers that stand and tell stories and jokes. Run like you've never run before. Run! Run! Run!